which are 61 to 65, chapter 18. ईश्वर सर्वभूतानां ईश्वर सर्वभूतानां हृद्देशेऽर्जुन तिष्ठति हृद्देशेऽर्जुन तिष्ठति भ्रामयन् सर्वभूतानि भ्रामयन् सर्वभूतानि यन्त्रारूढानि मायया यन्त्रारूढानि मायया ईश्वर सर्वभूतानां हृद्देशेऽर्जुन तिष्ठति भ्रामयन् सर्वभूतानि यन्त्रारूढानि मायया तमेव शरणं गच्छ तमेव शरणं गच्छ सर्वभावेन भारत सर्वभावेन भारत तत्प्रसादात् परां शान्तिं तत्प्रसादात् परां शान्तिं स्थानं प्राप्स्यसि शाश्वतं स्थानं प्राप्स्यसि शाश्वतं तमेव शरणं गच्छ सर्वभावेन भारत तत्प्रसादात् परां शान्तिं स्थानं प्राप्स्यसि शाश्वतम् इति ते ज्ञानमाख्यातम् इति ते ज्ञानमाख्यातम् गुह्यात् गुह्यतरं मया गुह्यात् गुह्यतरं मया विमृश्यैतदशेषेण विमृश्यैतदशेषेण यथेच्छसि तथा कुरु यथेच्छसि तथा कुरु इति ते ज्ञानमाख्यातम् गुह्यात् गुह्यतरं मया विमृश्यैतदशेषेण यथेच्छसि तथा कुरु सर्वगुह्यतमं भूयः सर्वगुह्यतमं भूयः शृणु मे परमं वचः शृणु मे परमं वचः इष्टोऽसि मे दृढमिति इष्टोऽसि मे दृढमिति तथा वक्ष्यामि ते हितं तथा वक्ष्यामि ते हितं सर्वगुह्यतमं भूयः शृणु मे परमं वचः इष्टोऽसि मे दृढमिति ततो वक्ष्यामि तेहितं मन्मना भव मद्भक्तः मन्मना भव मद्भक्तः मद्याजी मां नमस्कुरु मद्याजी मां नमस्कुरु मामे वैष्यसि सत्यं ते मामे वैष्यसि सत्यं ते प्रतिजाने प्रियोऽसि मे प्रतिजाने प्रियोऽसि मे मन्मना भव मद्भक्तः मद्याजी मां नमस्कुरु मामे वैष्यसि सत्यं ते प्रतिजाने प्रियोऽसि मे सर्वधर्मान् परित्यज्य सर्वधर्मान् परित्यज्य मामेकं शरणं व्रज मामेकं शरणं व्रज अहं त्वा सर्वपापेभ्यः अहं त्वां सर्वपापेभ्यः मोक्षयिष्यामि मा शुचः मोक्षयिष्यामि मा शुचः सर्वधर्मान् परित्यज्य मामेकं शरणं व्रज अहं त्वां सर्वपापेभ्यः मोक्षयिष्यामि मा शुचः స్వభావజేన కౌంతేయ నిబద్ధ స్వేన కర్మణ కర్తుం నేచసి యన్మో యన్మోహాత్ కరిష్యసి అశోకి తతో సో దిస్ వర్స్ ఇస్ సేయింగ్ దట్ బౌండ్ బై యాక్షన్ బార్న్ ఆఫ్ యువర్ నేచర్ అకార్డింగ్ టు ఈచ్ వన్స్ వాసన
ఆర్ వి డూయింగ్ 61
యా వి డూ 61 బట్ ఐ జస్ట్
గివింగ్ ఎ టీ క్యాపింగ్ 60
యా సో బౌండ్ బై యాక్షన్ బార్న్ ఆఫ్ నేచర్ కౌంతేయ మీన్స్ bound by the vasanas, each one acts that which from delusion you do not like to do, which from confusion in the context, delusion as to what is dharma, you do not want to do. Meaning what Krishna is saying is, as per your vasanas, your dharma, you are a kshatriya. And you do not want to do that in the context now because of your confusion. And he is saying it is of no use because even that what you are avoiding to do, helplessly you will perform. You will be forced to do that action you cannot get out of your nature when your inside is filled with such a vasana. You are made up of that vasana. You will continue doing that. So might as well do that when the context has come. That's all he is saying. He said the same thing before in the second chapter, third chapter, everywhere. In the third chapter also he says, each one acts according to their vasana helplessly.
But this vasana we create with our karma.
Yes. But
over the
period of time.
Period.
Yes. And you are that bundle. So now accordingly your thoughts will go. See, Himalayas, especially in Rishikesh. Generally when you talk about Rishikesh, you think about spiritual things.
Yeah.
Yoga, spirituality, you know, those kind of things. People go for that.
Yeah.
Even all over the world they come to Rishikesh for that purpose. And then you find in that place where Ramakrishna was roaming around and doing tapas, in the same place, Anandas Pass come out. Right? So somebody who had the vasana, when he went there, he saw the place, or next place, why not visit and stop. Because he had the business vasana. All I wanted to say is, even after going to a place which is extremely conducive for spirituality, your vasanas are so powerful that it comes out there. They are not saying it's wrong. That's how it is. So the nature manifests itself. See, the whole world goes to unmanifestation at night. Everybody goes to sleep. Right? When all of us are sleeping, you can't make out who's a lawyer here, who's a doctor here, who's an engineer, who's a sportsman. You can't. But when they wake up with their vasanas coming out, and each one according to their vasanas, they go to their respective field. Isn't it? You go to, if you're a lawyer, you go to the court, if you're a doctor, you go to the hospital, if you're a sportsman, you go to your ground practice, play the match. Each one according to the vasana, helplessly function. This variety show in this universe is because of the vasana.
What is the English word for vasana?
Inner temperament, nature. So according to each one's temperament, nature, they are inclined to act. So Krishna is saying, don't force it. See, the whole idea in the Gita that Sri Krishna wants to say is, by controlling your organs of action and not doing the action, but sitting with your thoughts will revel over the objects of your desire. Right? Like for example, somebody who's extremely interested in cricket, watching cricket, but he had to work that day. So he's at home, at work, but every now and then he calls up and checks what's the score, what's going on, who's batting, who's bowling, everything is checking, right? Because of the nature. So what Sri Krishna therefore says is, instead of stopping the action, do the action in such a way that you would exhaust the vasanas. Which is the Karma Yoga discipline. So helplessly everybody acts according to their nature. Therefore, what is the use in what you are trying to do by pulling away from the battlefield? This is Arjuna and this is Sri Krishna's question to Arjuna. Next verse. 61. Ishvara sarva bhutanam. Ishvara sarva bhutanam. Hriddeshe arjuna tishtati. Hriddeshe arjuna tishtati. Brahmayan sarva bhutani. Brahmayan sarva bhutani. Yadrarudani mayaya. Yadrarudani mayaya. Ishvara sarva bhutanam. Hriddeshe arjuna tishtati. Brahmayan sarva bhutani. Yadrarudani mayaya. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hriddeshe tishtati, o Arjuna. Arjuna, Ishvara resides, dwells, the Lord dwells in the heart of every being, Sarva Bhutana, Hriddeshe Sarva Bhutana. Arjuna, Lord is sitting in the core of the personality. That's what Hridayam means, core of the personality. And causing by Maya. Maya here in the context means Vasana. All beings revolve as though they are mounted on a machine. When something is mounted on the machine is revolving, the object also revolves.
A puppet.
So like that, each one is acting propelled by their vasanas, enlivened by Atma. Atma is not what is making you do the action. Don't misunderstand the whole thing. Atma doesn't make you do anything. Atma is not doer. But the Atma enlivens your vasana. And this body is the machine. Right? So Maya is the vasana. So each one of us are like that machine on which various things are mounted. Like that, we are all running propelled by Maya. That's all simple. Each one propelled by Maya, acting in this world, and Lord is only someone who enlivens it. And Lord dwelling in the heart of every being means the center, the core of every being. That's all it means. So the core of every being is this self, Atma. Atma eliminating vasanas make you act. So vasanas, we have seen the chronology of action before. Vasanas produce thought, thought produce desire, desire produce action.
Action.
Right? And vasana per se is insentient. There is no sentiency. But it is enlivened by the pure consciousness, the Atma. The moment the vasanas enlivened by the pure consciousness pushes the body to act. And each one while acting produces further vasana and then continue many more jhanvas. So he says the cycle of birth and death continues till you reach the self. Each one is acting according to the Maya. Maya means three gunas. Each one acts according to three gunas. Three gunas are from Maya. And according to your guna, if it's sattvic, you go to temple or philosophy lecture or some service-oriented activity, etc. If you are rajasic, you are chasing your desires. You are chasing your desires. If you are tamasic, then you run after indolence, inactivity, etc. As if mounted, you do this by your Tameva Sharanam Gacha, Tameva Sharanam Gacha, Sarvabhavena Bharata, Sarvabhavena Bharata, Tatprasadaparam Shanti, Tatprasadaparam Shanti, Tanam Prapsyasi Shashvatam, Tanam Prapsyasi Shashvatam, Tameva Sharanam Gacha, Sarvabhavena Bharata, Tatprasadaparam Shanti, Tanam Prasyasi Shashvatam. Seeking refuge in Him alone, with all your being, O Bharata, O Arjuna, by His grace you shall attain supreme peace, the eternal abode. So here we started slowly talking about surrender, surrender, surrender. The 66th verse which I said is the most important verse. There again he finally emphasizes on surrender. Seeking refuge in Him alone. With all your being. Complete bhav. So he is advising Arjuna to surrender totally to the Supreme Self within. Today we are surrendered totally to the materialistic world. Thought, word and deed, we are only pursuing that. So he is saying, the Lord is dwelling in each one's heart. The Self is there at the core of your personality. You should surrender to that Self. And what is that Self doing? Self elementary, organs of perception to perceive, organs of action to act, mind to feel various emotions, intellect to conceive thoughts. This is what the Self is doing. Without the role played by the Self, perception, action, emotions, thought are not possible. If the electricity were not to enlighten the bulb, then the power cuts off. Whatever may be the power of the bulb, it becomes powerless. Isn't it? It may be a 1000-watt bulb, but the bulb becomes powerless without the power, electricity enlivening it. So thus you realize the powerful role played by the Atma, which is an enlivening factor. And your intellect should constantly identify with the Self. As a result, you become aware of the Self 24/7. So just like how you are aware 24/7 that you are a woman, that you are a man, you are not putting in any extra effort to remember that. Isn't it? You have that awareness in you. Similarly, you should have the awareness of the Atma 24/7. And you must become grateful to everything that this providence has provided to us. So the mind, when it surrenders to that idea, then it doesn't crave for its likes and dislikes to be fulfilled as a condition. That's what you need to understand. So therefore you say, but your entire bhav means what? Thereafter, you don't act for your personal likes and dislikes. God has already enlivened so many things and given me everything. Why should I focus on the things that are apparently missing and agitate myself? Like the quotation will say, no, I have no shoes on the plane until I met a man who had no feet. Until you meet such a situation, such a person, you don't even realize, and even if you realize it's only temporary, afterwards you forget. And again you want to live life to fulfill your likes and dislikes as an individual. So say no, swabhavena, full bhav, with the entire being you completely surrender. So then what happens is, the head is appreciating the Atma and the heart is appreciating its providence. There becomes a perfect confluence of head and heart. With a perfect confluence of head and heart, with awareness and gratitude, you function in this world. That's all it is. And when you function like that, you drop the mind. See, all you see is, how do you pick up a vasana? Anybody? How does a person pick up a vasana? Develop vasana.
Isn't the vasana already in you, and you are that type of person?
How did you pick up that vasana? And how do you continue adding more vasanas?
Maya karma.
By constant thinking.
Thinking.
By constant thinking.
Thinking.
So, you don't pick up a vasana because you act. You pick up a vasana because you are thinking. Okay. See, in the third chapter, he introduced the concept yajna. And he said, all beings are functioning in the spirit of yajna. And a human being should also function in the same spirit of yajna. But unfortunately, the human beings alone don't function in the spirit of yajna. All other beings function. What is the spirit of yajna mean?
Surrender. Surrender.
See, you take this entire universe, the nature. Sun gives light, vitality, heat. It just gives. It's not having the ego that I'm giving, what am I going to get in return? The sun has no individuality. Just gives what it is supposed to give. The cow gives milk. The trees give shade, oxygen, etc., etc., fruits. All that. Right? Does it have any bhav of ego? Or what will I get in return? Just this. It is surrendering to the total and doing what it has to do. So to understand this, the best way to understand is the poem. Which poem? Olive Tree. In that poem, Olive Tree, there are two hermits who for their midnight prayer wanted olive oil. So they thought, let them plant the saplings, olive saplings, and then they can get oil out of it. So each one planted in their garden, 1 inch. And one fellow constantly asks God, oh God, give me this, give rain for my olive, give shade for my olive, give light, give this, everything keeps on asking, and as he asked, the nature also gave him. But still the olive tree died. He goes to his friend to see what happened to his olive tree. And his olive tree is thriving very well. So he asks, how is it that when my olive tree died, yours is still thriving? For which he says, I entrusted my little olive tree to him, laid eye on him, no conditions. He who made it knew what it needed better than a man like me. He who made it knew what it needed better than a man like me. That bhav is called surrender. So he did not ask, he rather did what is to be done. He gave water to the plant when it needed. He gave shade when it needed. He gave light when it needed. He gave everything. But he had no conditions. Later on, he no conditions. We constantly keep on laying conditions.
Is that a poem?
Just a poem.
Why?
In sovereign gold. Beautiful poem. So, what he is saying here is, like that you also don't
lay condition.
Affirm your wants, like in this life. Thy will be done, not my will be done, should be your attitude. Like Guru Nanak ji says, Tera na mera. This entire universe, every species is functioning like a spoke in the wheel of life. So let me also function the same. So when you function that way, then you very quietly engage in this world doing what you ought to do. Surrender should not be understood as you don't do your action in surrendering to the God, expecting the God to do the action for you and get the result. No, that is not what he's saying. Just you also be the spoke in the wheel of life. That's all. Appreciating the role played by the Atma. Surrender to that, just direct your actions in this world. When you function like that, you don't create vasanas, also the existing vasanas you drop. See, today what is happening is, we are acting for our likes and dislikes, results. So when we are acting like that, where is our thought? On the object, on the world. If I do this, what will I get? And while doing that, am I getting? Right? So where is your thought? On the object, the result. And when the thought is on the result object, constantly, you develop impressions, vasanas further. On the contrary, you surrender and function, you are not worried whether this will bring me results or not. You are planning and doing everything to get the result, but in your mind result is not there. You just surrender.
Yes.
In the WhatsApp, somebody had sent a message about Rahul Gandhi. When in the initial stage, when he was not getting selected to the Indian team, apparently in his motorbike he had a sticker written, said that God does not ever stop giving. He will give one day. Something like that he had written. And he continued doing his training, playing Ranji Trophy. As a result, he was playing well and got selected to the Indian team. Then you know the rest of the story. He played for India for long, and then now, even now, even today, he is such an inspiration. He doesn't want to take up the job into the senior team and all that, training, any nothing. He is taken up as the coach, I think, for the under-19 team. I want to build the future cricketers for India. Just gives, that's called surrender. There's no personal agenda. That personal agenda should not be. That's all he's saying. When you function like that, already existing vasanas you dissolve. When the already existing vasanas you dissolve, he says, you attain the supreme peace, the eternal abode. And when he says this, he says, by his grace. So, in other words, the finite cannot achieve infinite through its effort. Our actions are important, But more important, equally important is the grace of the Lord. What is the grace? Remember, every time we talk about the grace, we always tell that the grace of the Lord is universal, never preferential. Correct? The grace of the God is universal. Otherwise, He is not God. If He has the preferential identification in somebody, then He is not God. Correct? He or she or it is not God. So therefore, grace is universal, available to everyone. But then who gets it?
The person who surrenders and does not receive.
When it rains, the water falls on both the mountain and the valley. Correct or not? Water falls both on mountain and the
valley.
But the water gets collected only in the
valley.
Doesn't get collected in the mountain. Why? From this, what do we understand? Like a mountain, when our ego is swelled up, we don't receive the grace. But when we have dug up ourselves like a valley, remain humble, then we receive the grace. As long as you are attached to the results, you don't get it. The moment you let go, you get it.
Vinoba Bhave, when I've gone to him when as a child many times to Vinoba Bhave. So he used to give this example that when you are sitting in a train, you have to go from say Delhi to Bombay. It's not that you can sit on the wrong train and pray, oh God, take me to Bombay. But if you sit on the right train, even then you need to pray to him that you should reach safely, because it can go off track, whatever. So you have to first sit on the right train, and then you also have to pray that you reach safely.
So sitting on the right train is your efforts, and praying
is surrender
the grace. So when the attitude and awareness mixes with action, the proper attitude and the proper awareness of the Atma mixes with the action, it becomes a yoga, spiritual action. So therefore, he says, by His grace we will get through. See, this example also is discussed in this context, which is, when you want to go to sleep, you prepare the room, in summer, you draw the curtains and then you switch on the AC and make it cooler. So that when you get into the room to sleep after half an hour or so, the room is ready continuously for you to sleep. Then you also go down and lie down. Close your eyes. Do you know when exactly you fell out to sleep? You can't. You kind of very forcefully retain that thought, I must sleep, I must sleep, I must sleep. That itself becomes a hindrance for you to sleep.
Yeah.
Right? You go, prepare the bed, lie down, and then relax. Then you close your eyes and then relax the body and the mind. Slowly, you fall off to sleep. You don't know till you get up. You went off to sleep, one of the four, you slept for so many hours. You don't even know. So therefore he says, then the ego will dissolve and merge with the total. That's not in your hands. Leave that in the hands of the total. That is what it means by His grace. The same idea is spoken from this verse till 66. Next verse. Iti te jnanam akhyatam, iti te jnanam akhyatam, guhya guhya taram yaya, guhya guhya taram maya, vimrushyaitata sheshena, yatechatitata kuru, iti te jnanam akhyatam, guhya guhya taram maya, vimrushyaitata sheshena, yate chatita takuru. Thus, the knowledge most secret has been declared to you by me. So Sri Krishna is saying, I have concluded what I want to give you. The knowledge that I want to give you, I have concluded. Bhagavad Gita is over. Strictly speaking. So he says, thus means, through this logic that I have given you till now, the knowledge, what kind of knowledge? The most secret. It is deep inside everybody's personality. Nobody seeks it because the mind is extroverted. So everybody is running outside. So there is no one who knows it. The secret knowledge has been declared to you by me. Now he says, having reflected on this fully, so now what is your job? Your job is to go back, sit and reflect and observe. Now having reflected fully, he says, yate chati tata puru. Tata ichyasi, tata guru. What does it mean? Do what you like. Absolute freedom. Who will do this? After clearly giving the knowledge systematically for so much in depth, so long, he finally says, you are free to do what you want. Yate ichyasi, tata guru. How many of us will do that in our life? Would you be able to say tai chasi tata kuru to your children? Do what you like. Do what you like means do what you wish, what you think is right. Yet Sri Krishna says ete chasi tata kuru. But before that he says what? You think about whatever I said. You want to accept it, accept it. You want to reject it, reject it. I have no problem. He is giving that freedom to Arjuna. After clear explanation, why he should act, what is that higher knowledge, how he can reach that ultimate Brahman, by doing his action, what is that concept of renunciation, meditation, everything has been thoroughly explained. And then he says, yate chasi tata kuru. See, knowledge can only be grown in the environment of freedom. Nobody is bound to anybody in this world. You come alone, you go alone, you're free. So for the time that we live in this world, the brief sojourn, we are relating with people, parents, children, siblings, spouse, friends, the whole society. We are just traveling in a compartment, train. When my decision comes, I have to go. Nobody is compelled. You cannot forcefully give the knowledge. Like Ramakrishna says, anything forced is never forceful. If you try to force something into somebody, it is not forceful. It will not stay there for a while. It will stay only for a while. to come back again. Isn't it? Therefore he says, Yate Chati Tatapu. You do what you like. The Guru is not dependent on the Shishya to take in the knowledge, digest it. He doesn't have any expectations. A clear sign of Guru's humility and liberal thinking. See, in fact, life, any knowledge that we take, we should have the same freedom. Finally, we should be able to adhere to what is right according to you. Oh, such a great person called Krishna has given this knowledge, so somehow I must do it, whether I agree to it or not. What? So in short, what Krishna is telling here is, don't do any personality worship. There's no requirement. If it appeals to your logic, if it's the right thing to do, do it. No matter whether any big people told about it or not. So human being, the dignity and courage of human being is to live up to the convictions of the intellect. Not get bogged down by the world. World can say whatever they want. You must live up to the convictions of your life, of your mind. Today what happens is, something is very old. When they say old is good. Who said? Old, all gold need not be gold. Maybe some gold, not necessarily everything is gold. Or somebody, some great personality has said it. So it has to be correct. How can it be? Why can't it be wrong? If you see in science, the scientists who came much later have brought out some new theories and new inventions proving the old theory is wrong. But the intention is not to prove the old theory is wrong. But when they saw the evidence to the other, they bring it out and science accepts that and moves on. So, ete chasi tatapuru. And we do not have this attitude towards our grown-up children. Forget about small children. Grown-up children also, oh, tremendous expectations, you know, to give so much of advice. Yeah. The expectation is there that at least they should follow it.
I think it's only the India. I don't think in the West they are like that. You know, people are obsessed with their children. Their whole life is only they're obsessed. I mean, their life rotates around their children, which is very wrong. I've seen that. Everybody is only about their children, whether they are 25 years old or whether they are 5 years old. It's only their entire day and life is only those children. That's so wrong.
We don't let go.
They don't let go. And they don't have a life of their own. Isn't it?
They like to have a life of their own, but we like to kind of bind them to us forever and ever.
The parents,
yeah.
They don't have a life of their own.
Oh, yeah,
because
right.
They are so obsessed with the children that their whole life is children. It's too much. It's an obsession. And it's not in the West. West mein nahi hai.
Wahan to they live in this, which I think is a very nice thing.
So the whole thing is the teacher having given the knowledge has zero expectations from the student. Because why?
Because they will take what they want, they want to.
They will act according to their vasana. But already the teacher has given the what he has to say.
See, the teacher, when he teaches in the school, the teacher would love if everyone becomes a great scientist, engineer, doctor, whatever, artist, whatever, right? But he also knows, what he knows? Each one according to their gunas,
yeah,
and their efforts.
Yeah.
Same teacher was teaching. One fellow goes back home, reflects, and goes to a certain height in life. Other fellow doesn't do that. Because his gunas are different and he is not able to fight out his gunas, he does something else and then he is at a different level. Another fellow doesn't put in any effort whatsoever, he is at a different level. So Krishna understands that each one will function according to their vasanas and will grow only with reference to their effort. Therefore he has zero expectations whatsoever. And also he doesn't arrogate this knowledge to himself. The knowledge is flowing through me from the highest. And since you tapped it, you received it. So why should I form any, develop any expectation? The knowledge that I got from my guru, I'm passing it on here. My guru got it from his guru. Goes on like that, the guru parampara. And whoever taps the knowledge is never given, it is taken. So whoever is taking it, need to come and tapping it and drawing it up. Right? And then how much of it they imbibe in their life depends on their efforts. So why should I unnecessarily get entangled in their karma? Do as you like. Everyone will function according to their vasana. Kumbhakarna goes and talks to Ravana so much and tells him. Before that Vibhishana told, Kumbhakarna told, so many people told Ravana. Did you listen? The mind is so powerful, it's not easy. The interesting thing is, Arjuna asked this question in the 6th chapter, if you remember. So Krishna, you are talking about this yoga, controlling of mind and all this. Do you think it's really possible? He is asking. And then he says, this mind is so restless, turbulent, strong, and firm, determined, upset. Do you think it's even possible to control this mind? And Krishna said, yes, it's possible through abhyasa and knowledge, vairagya, through detachment and practice is it. Why he is saying is, not easy, not easy. What we are doing here, we started off with the invocation to Bhagavad Gita, the first chapter, and we have come to 18th chapter. And the next few weeks, we will conclude the Bhagavad Gita by His grace. This is not easy. It's not easy in the sense, because we are not having the compulsion to complete a particular chapter within few days is the thing that we meet once a week, we discuss sometimes one verse, sometimes 3-4, sometimes 7. Very rare, 7. Maximum 2-3. So it's taken us this long journey. How long the mind can wait? Not easy. See, nowadays, you have this, what do you call this, T20 cricket match, 2020, right? Before that one day cricket came. Much before that, there was no one day cricket only, only test cricket, 5 days. And now, in those 5 days match, they have one day break, so it becomes 6 days. And then they stop their one day break. Then they brought, first initially it was 60 overs match. Then they brought it down to 50 overs each. And now 20 matches come. It starts and finishes within 4 hours, 3 to 4 hours. Where is that? How many people have the patience to even watch one day match on full day? How many people have patience to watch the 5 day match? Forget about it. Isn't it? So, the mind is asking for quick results, quick fixes, instant joys. So what Sri Krishna is telling from that, how many people can take in and try to practice without losing consistency and get there? Very rare. You know that. And therefore he says, Yathechasi Tathapi. And not only that, he understood very well that only in the atmosphere of freedom can anyone learn. That's why when you go to the universities, the very education, the whole thing, system changes completely. Isn't it? Especially when you go to this liberal arts college. It's a completely interesting, different system. It's the environment of freedom. They have the library opened up till 4 o'clock in the morning. Children can go sit there. See, when we talk about freedom, we need to differentiate between freedom and licentiousness. What is the difference between freedom and licentiousness?
Some amount of discipline.
Exactly. So when the freedom is punctuated by discipline, it is real freedom. When I act according to my mind's likes and dislikes, that is not real freedom. I am an adult. I am free to do what I want. I like to do this, I do this. I don't like to do this, I don't like to do this, I don't do this. Then they say I am free. Are they really free? Vedanta says they are not really free. Why?
Because they are slaves to their likes and dislikes.
Absolutely. They are actually slaves to their likes and dislikes. They are not free. Isn't it? Can you do what is right even though your mind craves to do something else which is wrong? Do you have the strength, capacity,
discipline
to get the mind to do what you like? I mean, what is right? Then only you are free. That means you are free to control it and make it do what is right. You are free to allow it to do what it wants when it's not the wrong thing. Then only you are free. So what is freedom? Freedom is acting independent of your likes and dislikes. So therefore he says, when you give the environment of freedom, the learning grows. Not otherwise. So thus, knowledge most secret has been declared to you by me. Having reflected on this fully. So before you act, you should have digested the knowledge. Then your choice will be a wise choice. If not, it will be impulsive. See, in all your actions are dictated by the intellect, directed by the intellect, 100%, then you are the same person. 75% dictated by the intellect, 25% mind. You are called emotion. 50-50, then you are called eccentric. 25% intellect, 75% mind, you are hysterical. 100% mind, 0% intellect, you are insane.
Okay.
I'm repeating. 100% intellect directing your action. And 0% mind, you are a sane person.
Sane.
Let's say A, category A. 75% sane, 25% intellect, 25% emotions. You are emotional person. B category. Then C category. 50-50. Right? Then 7, that 50-50 category is eccentric, C category.
Eccentric?
Yeah. A is sane, B is emotional, C is eccentric. Then the fourth category, which is 75% emotions, mind, 25% intellect, sane. Such a person is hysterical. B category.
And then insane, when they don't...
And then 0% intellect, 100% mind insane.
It's very difficult to be A.
So, A is sane, B is emotional, C is eccentric, D is hysterical, E is insane. Where do you think most of us are?
I think mostly.
I think mostly
we'd be hysterical or...
Hysterical?
Actually, and eccentric. Eccentric, or most of us would be eccentric or hysterical.
I think it's B, not insane, but B
is also very difficult. We think so.
I think the average would be C, but a lot, if you make an effort, you can be B. But nature, I think...
But average would be C?
50-50.
Average would be C?
50-50.
But when we ask this question, when we do the seminar,
then
people say they are between B and C.
Exactly.
And there is quite a good amount of people who say they are between C and B.
No, I would say C is
there
the average.
There are many people who are D good.
D is
B what? Forget the hysterical and all, but 25% intellect and 75%.
So what she is trying to say is, don't go by this word hysterical.
Yeah.
The definition of hysterical person
exactly.
in the world is
something
else. So, forget about that.
But the reality is...
When we analyze, according to her, she is saying, even 25% of the time only people are using intellect, 75% no intellect.
Yeah.
Emotion only.
No, but one has to tell yourself, please think about this, think how you want to do this, bolna padta hai apne aap ko, otherwise the mind doesn't automatically think correct, you understand?
That's why we are doing this,
that is why we are training our mind for so many years, stay a certain path, stay more positive, think this way.
Like now at home also when I have to do a couple of things, I tell myself, first, let me sit down and think how to go about it. And then when you think, you find that everything is done very smoothly. not ki ghabra 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 without thinking you do anything, it's a mess.
Gurji, what is 50-50%? What is
eccentric?
That is also eccentric, see. And when we say you are eccentric, and 50-50% is good, I think, for an average person, what we are. Not good enough, but what we are normally.
So, you see, when we said that, yata ishyasi tata kuru. In life, anywhere in the world, what are they doing? Once you become an adult, then you are free. That's what they say, right? Till then you are under the care of a child, care of a parent or a guardian, care of. Now, once you become 16 or 18, they say now you are free. Go live your life. Correct or not? Anywhere in the world.
Yes.
Why is that? Because anywhere in the world, it takes approximately 16 to 18 years to have a minimum level of intellect. Minimum level of intellect. So you go through college and all that, I mean, question everything by the time if you really did all that. But then you are 18, you have some kind of control over your head. You are expected to have, and it's possible by that time. Hence, at the age of 18, they say, leave the hands. But till then, what? Educate them, make them think, strengthen their intellect. So exactly same thing Sri Krishna is saying. Now listen, I have given you this knowledge. You are free to act, but in between there is one. What is that? Think about what I said, fully reflect about it, test it, check why it is said so. Having done that, then you decide. If at all you want to go against it, I want to go for it, how much of it not, all that you decide. Because then you will have an intellect to be able to think independently. See, how many of us have this unbiased way of functioning? It's very difficult. Very difficult. Throughout the world, all of us are seeing this. We are either biased for or biased against anything. It could be against communism versus capitalism, right? It could be between this leader, this policy, that policies, this system of education, that system of education. Why should you or me or anybody for that matter be biased for or biased against? No. Ayurveda is the best. The bias against anything. Allopathy, there are some people. Some people are, hey Baba, nothing to do with Ayurveda, they are completely biased against Ayurveda. Why? Why should it be? So, the life in approach in life should be truth. In fact, there is a very interesting saying, I'm not able to recollect the saying verbatim, but the gist of it is this, you convince the person who is already convinced. Now, you are already convinced that I am good or bad, whatever it is. Let's say you are convinced that I am good. Anybody comes and starts talking, giving logic to you, proving that I am good, you are very happy and inclined to listen, etc., etc. Anybody who comes and gives logic and reason to you saying, how bad I am, I find it very difficult even to concentrate and listen to that fellow. Isn't it? Forget about accepting the fellow's logic or even consider thinking. So, most of us are kind of forming opinions without fact finding and not understanding, even if we have done fact finding, that it need not necessarily be conclusive facts. There may be so many facts which I have not got. There may be few facts. So, that doesn't mean you remain influenced conclusive forever. No. But the approach here should be take in the knowledge, information, reflect, think, strengthen your intellect, and then with your intellect take the decisions. Once you have taken the decision, stick to it till you think you need to change the decision. You've got some new data, change it, no problem.
There's a problem and you don't know what's the truth. In especially in politics and the news and all, you really don't know what is the reality.
So you think, reflect, find out. Don't form opinions quickly. Or with the facts you have certain, with the certain facts and data, you come to conclusion. Then tomorrow when you get the facts and data, otherwise you should be ready to change. Whichever way it is. That doesn't happen that way. So therefore he says, after having fully reflected, you do what you like. Because then you will be mature. Are you with me? So children are under the care of parents or guardians till they strengthen the intellect. And once they strengthen the intellect, we should let them go. That's the whole idea. That's exactly what Sri Krishna is saying here. I have given you the knowledge now. You go reflect, do what you want. But after reflecting. Not before reflecting impulsively. And majority of us, when we don't reflect enough, we kind of twist the very knowledge to justify our actions. Understand? You'll twist it. You'll give it a spin. Your own interpretation. And then you will kind of justify your actions. That is why they say do proper study and reflection. In the book Vedanta Vidya, Swamiji says, how many of them who claim to be authorities in any religion, including Hinduism, can really claim to have gone through the scriptures in depth? Not claim, depth. Not really. You just read Upar Upar and then you come and give your opinion. And even people who listen, how many of them really want to put in the effort? How many of them who go to the church, how many of them who go to the Gita class or anywhere, put in the effort, imbibe? You just, okay, I am giving some interpretation. You have to go back and reflect and see, huh? But how many of us are doing that? So those of you who are biased in favor of me, will follow it without reflecting. Those of you who are biased against me, you will reject it without thinking. Both are wrong. Supposed to go back, reflect,
think for
and then plunge. Reflect and then plunge. Not plunge think without reflection. All it is. So from my side, I have given the secret knowledge to you. And from your side, now you do the reflection and then decide. Atechasi tatakur. So let's conclude here today. And next week we'll do 54, 65, 66. पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेव वशिष्यते. ओम शांति शांति शांति. ओम कायेन वाचा कायेन वाचा. मनसेन्द्रियैर्वा बुद्ध्यात्मनावा बुद्ध्यात्मनावा प्रकृते स्वभावात् प्रकृते स्वभावात् करोमि यद्यत् सकलं परस्मै नारायणायेति समर्पयामि नारा